My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, come, and let us magnify and exalt his name together. Amen? Amen. Isn't it neat when we find in the Word that Jesus touched people, put his hands on them and touched them, and how there was times when they reached out and touched him. You know, Jesus said that he knew that somebody had touched him because he felt, what did he feel? What did he say he felt? Felt power coming out of him. He felt that touch of that woman who had the issue of blood in the midst of the crowd, and he turned around and said, somebody touched me. And his disciples said, everybody's touching you. We're all so grouped up and close together. He said, no, somebody touched me. Something came out of me when they touched me. And it's just neat to see that God does use just the physical touch to touch people at times, and how he would touch lepers, you know, people who other people wouldn't touch. So it's neat to be able to see God to use people like that and just comfort others. Showing compassion. It's the way he does it. It works. Yeah. Detected it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God knows how to take care of us when we're his. Amen. He promises us that. What's that, Romans 8:28? What does it say? Let's say it all together. Come on. Help me out. All things. Those who love the Lord, conditional, isn't it? Those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And he says, all things, that means good and bad, right? Good and bad, because all things are not good, all things are not bad. But all things are good and bad. So, he said he works it for the good. What's the good, though? To make us more like Jesus. That's where 8:29 comes in. Where he says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the good part, that everything in our lives, God uses us to make us more like Jesus, the good and the bad, and to him be the glory for that, no doubt. Anybody else? They anticipate some you ain't, huh? Yeah. Mm. That sounds like the people with Paul. Remember when they kept telling Paul, don't go, don't go? There's chains and bonds. They going to kill you there? Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, look at it this way. You wouldn't have to worry about gallstones if they did, huh? My glasses, huh? Y'all don't see me with these glasses often. Shannon come up, I want to look halfway smart, you know. No, I was starting to get a headache, and I just couldn't shake it, so I figured the best thing to do is put on some glasses. And then normally, hell, it's already feeling better a little bit, so that does work. Ma'am? They don't always get that kind of headache, but when I do, I could recognize that either I need to take me a nap, and I didn't get one of those, or put on my glasses. So I put them on. I don't remember those and all. Psalm 119, look at it. Big psalm. How many verses? 170. Well, we're not going to look at all of them. Look in verse 74 just for a moment. We talked about this verse a while back. Well, I say a while back, just a couple weeks back, maybe a month ago. or so, but I want to tie it together with verse 79. Verse 74 says, "They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word," or "I have also," is the idea, "hoped in thy word." I just like that verse. It's because it's just getting more, has more appeal to me every time I read it. "They that fear you, God, will be glad when they see me, because I also, like them, have hoped in thy word." That common connection. Running across somebody that you know, that you hadn't seen, that you hadn't been around. It's got a connection with. When you see them, you're glad to see them. And this is in the context of fearing God and hoping in his word. But look in verse 79. Verse 79 and 80 says, "Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies, and let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed." I like what these verses are speaking of. It's saying the same thing, the same principles, as that when the man that fears God sees those that fear God are hoping in his word, they have a sense of connection, of a common witness, and they come together, they're glad to be with one another, they're glad to see one another, because they rested in God's mercy. And then he says it again in verse 79, "Let those that fear thee turn unto me." Let them turn to me. Let them look to me. Let them come to me. Let them come and ask me. Let them come to me for help. Let them come to me for guidance. Let them come to me for fellowship. Let them come to me. Let them turn to me. Let them look forward to turning to me. Because we talked about running into people. You ever run into people that when you seen them coming, you wanted to get away from them? You wanted to turn the other direction? Now, come on. Be honest. You ever been in a store and you seen one particular person coming? You said, you make a mad dash. You look like a running back for the Saints. You hit another aisle, and you're trying to get away. None of y'all ever done that before? I'm the only one? Janet Briggs. What's that?
I thought we all
can
fake wings.
Yeah. She went and hid. Look how red she is. Hey, well, look. Now, just the opposite happens, though, when you run across somebody you're glad to see. You're glad to see them. You're delighted in seeing them. Well, he's saying, look, Lord, let those that are delighted in you, that desire you, that fear you, that give you reverence, that give place to you, priority to you in your life, in their life, let them turn to me. Let them come to me. Let them be excited about seeing me. Let them come to me for help, to talk about you. Let them be able to turn to me to talk about your testimonies, that they put confidence in you. And as a result thereof, they're glad to see me too. And he says this, verse 80, let my heart be sound. The idea is to be without blemish. Let my heart be whole. Let my heart be perfect. Let it be in a position in such a way in thy statutes. For what reason? That I may not be ashamed. When? Well, when they turn to me. Let me not be put in a position that I'm ashamed when they do turn to me. I want them to turn to me and come to me so that we can fellowship one with another. But don't let me be in a position where I'm ashamed that I can't help them, that I can't connect with them in fellowship, that I can't be what you want me to be, because I don't have your statutes in me, or I'm not walking in your statutes. Meaning, I may know them up here. I may know these things, but they're not something that has affected my lifestyle in such a way that I'm ashamed in comparison to your testimonies. Now, we all know that none of us are going to know everything of God's Word. Amen? That's just not going to happen. But it ought to be our heartbeat that we would want to know more. And we want to be in a position that I'm growing in the grace of God. And I understand I don't know everything, but I'm going to know more tomorrow than I know today. And I'm not going to be ashamed of where I'm living, because I want to live according to your statutes. I want to live according to your testimonies. And I want to live according to living in the fear of you. And I don't want to have to take somebody that comes to me and refer them to somebody else, even though that happens in our lives. You know, we can point to other people and say, look, I haven't walked down this road, but I tell you, I'm headed that direction. I know somebody that can help you a little bit better than I can. But let me tell you what he's done for me. And then let's go on to somebody else. And that's a blessing to be able to do that, to recognize that, to get people that can take them a little bit further than maybe you can. But we don't want to be, how many of you ever had to call AT&T? How many of you want to avoid calling AT&T? When you call AT&T, how long do you normally have to stay on the phone with them? How long? Forever. Everybody has issues, don't they? You would think with a corporation as big as they are, with the volume of, like they say, they cover 95% of Americans. You know, that's a, y'all notice their thing on there? They want you to hear that they cover 95% of America. But you pay attention, they say they cover 95% of Americans. Not America, but Americans. You can't talk with them. And when you do get somebody, what are they prone to do? They refer you off to somebody else. And then they transfer you to somebody else. You're not glad. I know you're not. When you got to call AT&T. Yeah, we sure glad, Miss Simon, that you deal with us, and your coverage out there in Porterville ain't as quality, but you stick with us. You are a value customer. I heard that before. Mr. Norman. In 82? Ain't much changed since, huh? Now, the thing is that you would think, though, I'm just saying in my mind, such a big corporation. I mean, imagine the dollars that go through AT&T on a monthly basis. Y'all know what you pay, right? I mean, most everybody, if your phone bill, what you have is shy of $50, which I don't even scratch the surface, does it, for most cases. Hundavin, you multiply that with 95% of Americans, how many people in America? 300 plus million. You start tallying that up on the volume of resources that flow through AT&T. And you normally always are passed on to somebody else. And they can't help you. And then how many ever asked to talk with the supervisor? We all do, you know. The point I'm making in all this, you don't want to be an AT&T Christian, do you? That when they turn to you for help, all you do is you can't speak their language. Can't help them. You pass them on to somebody else. A preacher will help you. A Sunday school teacher will help you. But you can't help them. We don't want to be that, do we? Well, we want to be like what this psalmist David is saying. God, let them turn to me and let my heart be in a position that you teach me your statutes, that one, I am whole and sound in them, that I can live by them and apply them, but I also can help those that fear you and know how you work, know your testimonies. When they turn to me, they're glad to turn to me because I can help them and they'll be able to help me too. We don't want to be. How many of you feel like you might be like an AT&T Christian? think about it the next time you call AT&T. I don't want to be like this. Amen? I want to be a person for whom God can send my way, that I can take them through to Him and take them through His ways and unveil to them what He desires out of life, what He desires for me. Now, we can't personalize it in every way for everybody, can we? Because God may be doing something in somebody's life, taking them down a road. It's not the same road you're to head down. But you can point them to Him, and you can show Him what He's done for you and what He's revealing to you. Because even though you're going down a different road, I mean a different race you're to run, your ministries are still going to be the same. Testifying to the gospel. Sharing Jesus. Being compassionate. Forgiving. Loving. You know, all those things will be applicable. But if they're to work over here or if they're to work over here, you can't really tell them that, can you? There may be a time God gives you a word to help somebody in that area. But if people turn to you and for help, hey, ask God, start asking Him. And I believe y'all growing, and that's the great thing. And I think God's teaching and showing that, look, you don't have to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, look, can you take care of this for me? Somebody's needing help. You can help them because God's been helping you and taking you down the road that He's doing in your life. We just got to be cautious and continue to pray, God, teach me Your word. Teach me Your ways so that I can help those that know Your ways and have been walking with You, that I can work with them too. Amen? I just think that's just a great prayer that he prays. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Let it be without fault or blemish. I believe it. I'm trusting it. And I'm walking in it. And I know it because I've been giving it away. And I'm ready to give it away even to those that fear you. Amen? You see, Jeremiah was that type of guy, wasn't he? People turned to him, he could help them. And he did. And that's what we've been learning. Jeremiah didn't have too many people to turn to, did he? He didn't. And we want to be the type of person that the Jeremiahs out there have somebody that they can turn to for help with what God is doing in life. To Him be the glory. Amen. That you could even be in this position. Because I know it wasn't too far back. I wasn't in a position that if somebody asked me something about the Lord or asked me something about His word, I couldn't help them because I didn't know it. But I'm thankful today that He's taken me down a path that I can share things that He's been showing and teaching. So that's just a good word right there to remember, lock down in your heart, to ponder, to pray over. Say, God, teach me thy statutes so I can have a sound heart. Walking in it and being able to witness to it and give it away. Amen? There's something about silence in a church that's tough, ain't it? I preached a message at a revival once, and God just kind of shut me down. It was in a good-sized church, probably 600 people there. And for 15 minutes, didn't say a word. Just shut me down right in the middle of the service. And just looked out among the people and just tried to look at all 600 of them in the eye. And boy, got uncomfortable. They were squirming. Didn't know what to do. Didn't know how to respond to it. And it had an effect. It really did. And I can't even remember how the application was made because I wasn't planning on it, just the way it happened. And but it did. And we don't want to be in the position where we're silent when somebody needs a word, if somebody needs help on what to do next. Amen. I shall keep it to the end. That's right. I think look up in a couple verses before that. Look in verse like 27, 28, 29. What does it say? Start in 25 and read from there. That's what I was looking for. I will run the course of your commandments. You shall enlarge my heart. Now, what's the visual picture did you get there? I will run the course of your commandments, and you shall enlarge my heart. Will. What's the visual? What's the picture you're getting here? Think about it. I will run, you will enlarge. I will run, you will enlarge. What's that? What you get out of that? Y'all help me. Mm-hmm. The more you do, the more you can do. Okay? Good point. Both of those. What else? Okay? Yeah. What else? What is something that we don't do enough of? There you go. That's what I'm looking for. What he's saying is, show me your commandments, show me your ways. I will run the course. I will run and you will what? You will enlarge. That is saying that you're going to exercise my heart. You're going to exercise me from a spiritual standpoint. You're going to condition me spiritually to run the course. You're going to exercise and enlarge my heart by spiritual exercise, spiritual disciplines. You're going to make me stronger spiritually. You're going to exercise me. I will run it. And when I run it, it's going to get me in better shape. And I'm going to exercise my heart. It's going to enlarge. That's the word pictures behind that of what he's saying. Exercise. From a physical standpoint, we understand we all need to exercise. And everybody said? But even more than that, we need to be spiritually exercising our heart, that it's becoming stronger and enlarging to be used by God. That's what he's referring to. Amen? Anybody else before we go? We're going to go back and eat. Because we need to exercise more, right? Amen. Mr. Norman, you're going to have to do physical therapy? That's what they're telling you. Having that shoulder surgery, you're going to have some physical therapy to get it back up. That's right. To exercise it, to make it stronger, to put it to work. You see, we got to have this if we're going to be able to say, let those that fear you and know your testimonies turn to me so that I won't be ashamed. Lord, let me run your course of commandments so that I can have a large heart to help them. Because you are filling me and exercising me. You're rehabbing me. Don't you all need rehab? Spiritually, rehab will affect you emotionally. It will affect you mentally. And it'll affect you physically. Because we're spiritual beings who have a physical body, and all of it's tied together. You know, when you're mentally messed up, emotionally messed up, you're physically wore out, aren't you? And everybody said?